You are a multi-storied. Elizabeth and Lou here with you until 2 p.m. today. And Belle Robertson is the founder of the website and online community Tired of Thinking About Drinking. This is an online space where Belle and others share stories about drinking, taking a break from drinking, tips on how to stay sober for a specific period or in an ongoing way. Because we discuss how storytelling works on multi-storied, we thought we would ask Belle in to chat with us about how the stories that her community shares on Tired of Thinking About Drinking function as a way of group support and encouragement in helping people change and in some cases transform their lives. Welcome to Multi-Storied, Belle.
Thank you for having me here.
Now, could you talk about what led you to start this online community?
I don't know if I intended to start a community. I started a sober blog so that I could write about being sober for myself. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting to anybody else was a surprise.
And so why did you start the blog? Were you looking for online resources to help you through sobriety, which was just a few years ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's 4.5 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of years.
When I started, it was because I knew that I couldn't be sober on my own. I wanted to quit for a month. That was my original goal.
Yeah.
And on my own, I could do about 7 or 9 days. And then I just thought, you know, drinking's everywhere. I'll just drink. What's the big deal? And I started to read other sober blogs. I didn't even know they existed. So once I found one, I thought, oh, this is really interesting. There's lots of other normal people out there who quit drinking, who don't have particularly low bottoms. They just decide that drinking doesn't suit them. Mm-hmm. And I got to about day 7 or 9 in my 30 days and realized that I was going to drink. And so I thought, okay, I'll do something brave and I'll create an anonymous blog and I'll just say, I don't know what I'm doing. Does anybody else know what I'm doing? And it turns out there's people out there who actually had done this before and could be, you know, could give some advice.
So what does an online community of people sharing stories about trying to be sober offer that is advantageous to face-to-face groups such as AA and other groups?
Well, it's anonymous. And so the thing about the internet is that you can be anywhere. Like I can be here in Australia, but you can tell by my accent I'm not from here. I don't live here. But people can be from all over the world. And maybe an online space is in addition to face-to-face support. Mm-hmm. I always talk about layers of support, like adding a tool and then adding another tool and then adding another one. And perhaps emailing me or having a sober pen pal is one way of having support. Maybe reading about somebody else's adventures in sobriety and the things we struggle with is a support, because then you realize you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Definitely, definitely. And so what's this community like? Like there are now, you know, you just starting your own blog from 4 years ago, over 4 years ago, has now sort of, there's thousands who are part of this community Tired of Thinking About Drinking.
Yep.
Could you describe the makeup and diversity of the people who are involved?
Sure. When I started doing this, I was sober pen pals with one or two people. People read my blog, they thought I'd like to have some support, they emailed me. And in the last 4-ish years, there's now 2,500 people that I have been individual sober support pen pals with these people. There's many more others who read the blog who I don't know who they are. So there's like a group we call lurkers who are outside of the community but are still part of it. The makeup, I think, is about 80% women.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Lots of men, though. I mean, I still have men pen pals, and there are male bloggers out there as well. Primarily women. From every age, I have girls in their 20s who have difficulty quitting drinking and need support, and I have grandma in her 70s who says, I'm not sure it's worth it, can I have some support? And everybody in between, including what I didn't realize was that sober support would be useful to you if you were trying to quit for 30 days or for 100 days, but also if you go to AA, if you've been to rehab, if you have what we call in the sober world a low bottom, someone who's had repercussions from drinking. I didn't realize that my kind of support would be helpful, and it turns out it's another tool in the sober toolbox. And so there are some people who have been to rehab 3 times, and then there are some people who have 1 glass, 3 glasses, 5 glasses, and then there's some people who have 1 bottle, 3 bottles, 5 bottles. What I found is that it doesn't matter. that we're all struggling with the same voice in our head that thinks that drinking is a good idea, and that having somebody to talk to can make a difference no matter where you are on the continuum.
Can I ask you, Belle, about the pen pal relationship? What does it mean to be in a pen pal relationship with you, and what are those relationships like for you?
What's my experience?
Yeah.
Well, I think that in doing this, it's helped me stay sober. Like, I intended to quit for 30 days. And then I quit for longer, and I quit for longer. And then I started to be pen pals with people at about 8.5 months sober. And I would say since then, it's really solidified. It's like my sobriety insurance. There's some people who go to AA meetings. There's some people who have a counselor. And I talk with people who are on day 1,000 and people who are on day one. And if I open up my inbox right now and I read you somebody's day one, it's a bloody good reminder to stay where you are. And so I feel like every day it's reinforced for me that day one is something to avoid, and that me being pen pals with people helps other people at the same time, because then you don't feel alone and you feel like there's somebody who gets what it's like to be you. Because most people haven't told anybody. Mm. Most of us who overdrink don't walk around broadcasting it. In fact, we think that nobody notices also. And so to actually reach out to somebody anonymously and get support is, for sometimes, it's their first and only contact with any kind of help.
Could you share with us a story about someone, no names are necessary, obviously, who has really struggled to not drink in the past and then become part of the Tired of Thinking About Drinking community and succeeded in getting and staying sober? Just one story.
Oh, there's probably hundreds.
Yeah.
There's people, I mean, I can think of an example of someone who had been to rehab and drank the day she came home, which isn't that uncommon. And she had never found any kind of support that worked for her. She had tried AA and it just didn't resonate with her. And it doesn't resonate for lots of people. It works fabulously for many people, and it doesn't work for other people. Mm. And for some people, also, it's one tool in a series of tools, so you might add other things. But she contacted me to do a class that I teach called the Jumpstart class, Sober Jumpstart, and that comes with a pen pal, and so she and I were emailing back and forth. And it sort of empowered her to create her own sobriety program, like to make her own supports. What works for you? Is it listening to sober podcasts? Is it reading the book? Is it sending me emails? Is it reading some of the stories that I publish from other people? And she put together her own support package. I figure that everybody who quits drinking has to put together their own support package, whether they like it or not. And we sort of go into it thinking, oh, well, if AA doesn't work for me, then there's nothing. Or if I don't want to go to AA, then there's nothing. And so in this one example that I can think of, she just celebrated a year sober. And she was somebody who hadn't had, I think, more than 40 days consecutively before she started to hang out. And it's not just me. It's the whole sober online world. Mm. I mean, I'm a genius, but it's not this. It's the whole thing.
One of the things I really like about the work that you do via the website, Belle, is that there's no add-ons that you're trying to spruik in terms of, there's no like get sober with my 30-day smoothie plan or, you know, buy my exercise video to help stay sober. There's some paid content, but chiefly it is free, and the website and community have one clear mission, just to not drink.
Right.
And to support each other through that. Is this now like a full-time occupation for you?
No, not at all. I mean,
because your website is so dynamic. There's so much stuff going on. You email every day. If you sign up for one of Belle's emails, it's for free, and you get an email in your inbox every day about sobriety. Yeah, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I mean, I have a regular day job. I'm a print designer. I'm a caterer. So I do that. Now, the catering, I can do more or less depending on other things going on. I support my husband in his job. And yes, I do the sober thing. But I think that I am sober so that I can do the other things in my life, like the catering and the baking. And that for me, this work supports the rest of my life. I hope I'm not morphing into one track. This is all I do. This is who I am. If you don't, you know. And also, I think it's not realistic. I think that being sober is a piece of a puzzle for you that helps you to be a better person or helps you to solve some of the things in your life. But you're right. If you come to my blog, 80% of it probably is free, maybe even more. There's a daily email. There's daily one-minute audio messages. There's if you sign up to be a pen pal, there's multiple emails a day back and forth, personal between you and me. And then, like you said, there's other paid things that people can add if they want to. And it's interesting because the 20% of people who pay support it enough that the other 80% don't pay.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah. And so that's, I mean, as far as a business model goes, it means that I can do tons of stuff for free, which is, I mean, it's really great. And it's great to be supported by, if somebody buys a book or if I make a bracelet that supports your sobriety, then people will buy the bracelet and I get some profit from that.
I'm interested in the title, Tired of Thinking About Drinking, as opposed to Tired of Drinking. Can you tell us what the distinction is for you and why you chose Tired of Thinking About Drinking rather than the act itself?
There's two answers to this. One is there's a very popular Canadian song called Tired of Thinking About Drinking, and if you're Canadian and you know the Tragically Hip, you know where that title came from. So I didn't make that up.
Okay.
But to be fair, to describe my own situation, and my drinking history is different than every person listening to this, but my particular situation was that I thought about drinking a lot, whether I was drinking or not. I was thinking about when would be the next time. And so for me, I didn't have as many repercussions from over-drinking as I had this mental preoccupation with thinking about drinking, thinking about, is there enough? Will there be more? Where's the waiter? Does that ring a bell? Seem familiar?
Just a little one, yeah.
Because the noise in your head can get really loud. And what I didn't know was that if you stop drinking, that voice would get quieter and quieter and eventually stop, just about stop. And I didn't think that was possible.
Well, speaking of that voice in your head that kind of, you know, is the chaotic voice that wants you to keep drinking, you use the name Wolfie to describe that voice. And you, in your emails and on online, you talk about Wolfie and how Wolfie's, you know, trying to get you to drink.
Right.
Could you talk about how naming this voice as Wolfie is a way of confronting the urge to drink and of dealing with Wolfie as a bit of a character that lives in your head?
It was an accident, like everything. Like, this is me writing the blog for me, and it turned out to resonate for other people. There's a Cherokee Indian story about having two voices in your head, one that wants you to do good and one that wants you to do bad, and it's the story of the two wolves and the little boy. I'm going to really do a terrible job of retelling this, but the little boy says to the grandfather, which wolf wins? And the answer is the one you feed. So I thought if you dehydrate the drinking voice, it would stop. And so I called it Wolfie, and I swear at Wolfie, because it's like, you're not going to derail me. I'm not going to let this voice in my head make me do stuff that's not in my best interest, that doesn't suit me, that doesn't support me to be my best me. And it turns out, because I don't do any research about what other sober people are doing, it turns out that there's actually a name for this. It's, and I'm, again, I'm not going to get it right, it's like addictive reactive voice, or it's got some name that if you externalize it to you, you realize that everybody listening who has a drinking issue hears the same voice saying the same things, including you suck and why can't you and other people can drink, what's the matter with you and why can't you just, and oh no, you drank again and you're such an idiot, and that kind of negative, not that we at all don't have a negative voice, but the one that gets fed by alcohol. Turns out we all hear the same thing. And so you think that you're broken or you're damaged or you're particularly deficient, or you drink because of your husband, or you drink because of your sick kid, and then you hang out in a sober world and find out that we all hear Wolfie and we all hear virtually the same language. And then that makes you feel not so alone, like that somebody else, that you're not broken, that you're not broken.
Where would you like to take the website? Like, what's your ambition for it, for Tired of Thinking About Drinking?
I haven't had an ambition yet. I have, like I said, I don't follow what other sober bloggers are doing. I only listen to my people. Like, I listen to my subscribers.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing longer podcasts that I record for a monthly subscription and people say that they find little bits in them that they re-listen to, then I start doing free one-minute messages so you can just listen to a bit. And I release a bunch of those, and then they tell me that they listen to 60 of them at a time, like 60 times 1 minute messages.
That's incredible. You do say in your book that when you started getting sober, you were spending like an hour or so a day reading about sobriety just to sort of support yourself.
Right. Yeah. To not feel alone. And so if you're going through some kind of crisis time, like leaving work and going home, that's a crisis time where your brain would normally act up with, this would be the time where I would drink. And so then if you listen to a podcast in the car on the way home or in your headphones on the metro, then it just reminds you that you're not alone, and it can reset you relatively quickly. I think the problem is that most of us don't reach out. There's supports out there for us. We don't want to ask. We're embarrassed. Somebody might recognize me. Somebody might see my visa statement. You know, somebody might see my website open. So I encourage people to create, you know, anonymous Gmail accounts and to communicate with me with a sober pen pal name, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your name is. I mean, I can see you right now. But most of my people don't see me. They hear my voice.
Thank you so much for joining us on Multi-Storied. It's been a real pleasure to meet you. I sort of had this, you know, I went for 6 months without drinking because I wanted to, I don't know, get some clarity about stuff. And I came across your website and also a piece written by Christy Coulter.
Yeah, she's one of my pen pals. Yeah.
Isn't it fantastic what she wrote about sobering up? Anyway, and I think the work you do is so fantastic. And the fact that it's for people across all levels of drinking, who, you know, you just might want to stop for 30 days and see what it's like, or you might want to stop for 100 days, but you don't want to go to AA because, you know, I don't consider myself alcoholic. What I consider myself is someone who gets dependent on various things, whether that be even a credit card or, you know, a bottle of wine. So I think that the work you do is really fantastic, Belle. Tiredofthinkingaboutdrinking.com is the website.
That's correct.
Thank you for joining us today on Multi-Story.